What's up, everybody? This is episode 18 of the Tucson Pinball Podcast. Welcome to Wayne's World. All right, so Texas Pinball Festival 2017 was awesome. And there's no other way to describe it. So Dave, Derek, and I left Tucson on Thursday morning, and we drove out, and we got to Texas kind of late on Friday morning. It was after midnight. You know, I don't even know what time we got in. It was late. But that really didn't matter because the tournament didn't even start until 11 o'clock the next morning. You know, so we slept in and we were in no rush. So basically that's how that schedule went. Long drive, sleep late. So the tournament lineup changed just a touch. And Ghostbusters was in, and Metallica Premium was in, and then Metallica was pulled. Like, that was a notice that got sent out. And then we show up, and I don't remember seeing this notice, but Metallica is back in, and I don't know if it's a Premium or Pro, because I, spoiler alert, I didn't even play it. And Ghostbusters is out. So I'm not quite sure how that all went down. It doesn't really matter because all that matters is they had 12 games. They had three from each era, and that's what they promote, and that's what happened. So sometimes there's a little bit of on-the-fly adjustment, and you know what? If you need a little help, check out your phone. Pintips.net, and there's all those tutorial videos that Papa puts on and other folks have put up. The Bowen videos that Papa does are amazing, so always check those out no matter what, because they're just a hoot. Because Bowen, the fact that Bowen can play at that level, granted, it's not like a single game. This is not a one-take thing. He's playing all day sometimes, but he has to narrate that every single time. And the fact that he can speak that eloquently and explain that well while he's going and playing at this level, it's amazing. Because you just sit there and you're like, my brain's not even processing what you're doing, and you're doing it while talking. That's awesome. So anyways, I played three tickets on the first day because it started at 11, and we decided to not start playing right away because we went in, we checked things out, then we went to get some food, and then we saw that Metallica was put in, and then we were like, hey, let's see what's locally available to just kind of practice on, because we don't have Metallica locally in Tucson. And so we kind of wanted to make sure that we had a little bit of muscle memory or a little bit more familiarity than ZapCon last year. So we found a place, and I can't even remember what it's called, but it was enormous, and it was like one exit away. It was a bowling place that was, it has the newest bowling stuff I've ever seen, huge TVs, lots of lanes, and that was pretty eventful. But they also had not quite Dave and Buster's size, maybe it was Dave and Buster's size, just like a huge playing area with an arcade. They had four pinball machines. They also had a restaurant in there. They had an obstacle course that was up above the arcade area, like you were tethered into a security wire, and then you could go and do these various obstacles, and it was pretty cool. So anyways, they had a Ghostbusters, Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, and Metallica, and the Metallica was maybe turned up as loud as it can go. So we left there slightly deaf, and took a little while for that to recover, but we did play Metallica a bunch, and after sucking for several games, I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna go out to the car, I'm gonna go watch the tutorial that I have saved on my tablet, and I'll come back in and see if anything's changed. So I went out to the car, I watched the tutorial on my tablet, I came back in, and I still sucked at Metallica. So I checked the scores, because the way the tournament's run is it's using Carl D'Angelo's Never Drain software, which is all web-based. You can queue up, you can check your status, you can check your scores, other people's scores, everything. It's awesome. It's a really great setup. So I went in and I checked, and Joshua Henderson, who is like 18 or 19, 17, something like that, and he's from the Chicago area, he had put up a score of like 274 million on Metallica. And the next person in line after 3-4 hours of play had 74 million, I think, You know, so he's just got an enormous gap. And I'm like, So I'm looking at the scores as things kind of come in, and I'm like, man, these are just like the people that have had a good game early on, and they're still a day-ish to play. Like, you know what? After getting 7 to 13 million points over and over and over again, maybe we won't even try Metallica. So we didn't even try Metallica. What I did do, though, is there's two Scared Stiff machines on the floor, and one of them had the color DMD, and it had the dots, the grid removed, because that's an LCD screen, and the dots are actually simulated, and you can turn off that grid, and there's like a secondary mode for that. And some games look pretty cool, like the Doctor Who that was in the tournament area also had a color DMD, and they also had the grid turned off, and that actually looked pretty good. And then other games with the grid turned off just looks atrocious. So it's nice that you have the option to do that, and it's nice that some games are able to, or all games that have a color DMD option, you're able to show those off in the way that makes them look the best. You're not stuck with one way that and said, hey, make this work for everybody. So I went and I played Scared Stiff. I had seen some gameplay videos from various tournaments, and the thing you want to do is you want to watch Zach Sharp play Scared Stiff, and I could not find the clip I wanted. I found Zach Sharp playing Scared Stiff, but it was not, I think I wanted the one from Pinburg 2015, where they basically just showed him destroying this game, and it was amazing. And it's like, hey, do that and you'll do well. So instead, I watched people play Scared Stiff and get destroyed by the machine, and people were talking, the commentators were interviewing people at this show. I don't even know what show it was, it doesn't matter, but there was very little gameplay advice or strategy talking on the stream from the commentators, so that was not the biggest of help, which is kind of a bummer, because, again, we don't have a Scared Stiff locally, and I think I've played that game like 5 or 6 times ever. So I went and I played it out on the floor, and I played the first time with Dave. He was queued up in something. It had a reasonable long line, so he actually was not present for his ball 3. He looked at his phone a couple times, and one time he checked, and he's like, I'm like on deck at this game. Just plunge my ball 3. So he walked away, and after he walked away, I got to Scared Stiff, which is probably the easiest wizard mode I've ever seen to get to, but it's still a wizard mode, and that's what matters. I got a couple of the stages into that, and then drained out. 13 million point game. Let's see. So I walked over, looked at the queues, and was like, you know what? That Scared Stiff queue isn't too bad. I think I figured this out. It's not too bad. The differences between the free play area and the tournament area were that locks were set to hard, and I think that might have been it for Scared Stiff. So instead of a single ramp shot opening up that lock, I think it took 2 the first time, and then 1 following after that. I think extra hard is where you have to do like 2 ramp shots for every lock shot. But I don't know, because I don't have tons of experience on it. Anyways, so I got back in line to play that same Scared Stiff that I had already played, and I had a really bad ball 1. Like I said, a few things up, but drained out pretty quickly. And then ball 2 was pretty good, and extra balls were turned on, so I think I got at least 1 extra ball out of it. And I played a couple multi-balls, and I did pretty good in those, and then I got to Scared Stiff again. But I think I only got 1 the first level. I only caught the first level, and then I drained out. But it was, like, my ball 2 and 3 were actually pretty impressive, like, staying alive. they were just survival. Everything was staying alive. It was amazing. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a lot of fun. And when you don't drain, everything gets a little bit more fun, right? And by the time I finished this game, and this one was another 13, it was an upper 13 million point game, but this one started off pretty bad, and so the last 2 balls, those had to kind of make up for the failure on ball 1. But when I finished, this lady who had also been like going through the Scared Stiff line, because she just liked to play the game, and she was playing that one a couple times, and she's a good player, but after I turned and I walked away, and I kept checking my phone after I would drain, and I was just like refreshing my queue to make sure I wasn't getting like bumped out of Scared Stiff. And And so so I kept checking my phone, and on the last ball I checked, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. There's only one other person in front of me. So I kind of turn and just kind of walk towards the tournament area, and she's like, wow, that was really impressive. And I had to kind of stop and be like, well, thank you. And then my brain was like, that actually was kind of impressive. You know, you didn't hit a whole lot of stuff, but you stayed alive and fought that quite a lot. So I was really happy with that. And I was kind of running on a little bit of a high at that point. So I went over to play Scared Stiff in the tournament because I was up. And let's see, how should this story play out? Should I go up and get houseballed for three balls? Or should I beat the game? Turns out I had a really bad ball one, and ball two and ball three were ball two was okay. I got a couple of locks in. Ball three, I was one lock shot away from starting the multi-ball. I did that, and then a couple things chained together, and I got to Scared Stiff again. I'm like, oh my, you know, my brain, at this point, my brain is going, you've played this game three times, and you haven't played this game in a year or more. And you've got to Scared Stiff three times in a row. I would say that's kind of a cool achievement for myself anyways. I don't know. I mean, that might, there's probably a lot of people that like, if I don't get to Scared Stiff, this game is a failure. But either way, got to Scared Stiff. I don't think I collected any of the jackpots on that. And so I drained out and I was like mid 8 millions or 9 millions or something like that. I don't remember. But I checked the points. And at that point, I think I was in the upper 70s. I think I got like 77 points for that. So I was like, you know what? I'll take that. I don't know much about this game. So yeah, so that was Scared Stiff. And then let's see. What are some of the other things from the tournament? And then we'll move on to the rest of the show. So yeah, like I said, I only played three tickets on Friday. I didn't play any Metallica, even though I played a bunch of it at the bowling alley. You just kind of learn what you're not good at. And I definitely need to practice on that. So you needed to play eight machines in order to get full credit for the event. You had to play six games because you had to play two machines from each era. So at that point, you have your six, your 2-2-2. And me personally, I said, well, let's try to keep it to as few number of games as possible so that I can focus on those and just hopefully improve my scores as things go on. So I stuck to that. I only played eight machines total. And the last two that I got down to, I ended up playing a few more times on Black Hole and hit the deck. And Black Hole is hard, and it was set up not very nice. And I had one game that was pretty good, and I think it was my second game. And I was playing really well, and then all of a sudden there was this power shot, I think from there's a pop bumper, I think, maybe that fed it. Anyway, so the ball comes screaming into the right flipper area, and I put up the flipper to kind of try to deaden that a little bit, and it rolls up, and it hits the gate, because there's a gate there for when it comes back from the lower playfield. It hits the gate so hard that it overpowers the spring, and then there's enough room for it to roll up a little bit. And then the gate closes, and then it just goes down the out lane. And I'm sitting there like, oh, that sucks. Because this was a decent game going on. So, yeah, Black Hole is kind of hard. And, you know, I've only played that a few times as well. So, anyways, but I eventually, I played that, I think, one or two more times. And eventually got a score, it was in like the 270s. I want to say like 276, 279, 274, something like that. But, I think I was like, man, I kind of got a hold of that. I didn't even get into multi-ball. I just kind of kept the ball alive and was building up my multipliers and, you know, just start hitting targets and things rack up eventually. And that was another one of those just survival games. Didn't really do anything that I had planned on doing. It just stayed alive and found the points, I guess. So finished up on Hit the Deck. So these are the three games that stood out to me. Scared Stiff, because I only had to play it once, and it was a semi-mic drop of just, hey, that's cool, good points, boom. Done, don't have to worry about that. Check it off the list. I used the, you know, because there's kind of a multiplier that you can say, oh, okay, well, if it's eight machines, got 20 plays, I can play each one 2 point whatever times. So the remainder tickets that I didn't have to play on Scared Stiff, I used up on Black Hole. And but on Hit the Deck, There was, and that's a cool game. That's a fun game. There's a video, and there was that I watched, and it was only a couple minutes long, just kind of just explaining the various rules and some of the different objectives. But the problem was that the video I watched was not focused on scoring. It was focused on advancing through the game. And sometimes those line up in a game, and I think games are more fun when that is the case. If you're doing what the story of the game wants you to do, and that's how you score the most points, I think that's a really good goal for games and game designers and programmers to have. But anyways, so on Hit the Deck, it's an EM, and there's sets of cards, and when you complete like two aces, it'll light up a few shots for the aces, and every time you roll over that or hit the targets or whatever, instead of it being 500 points, it's either or 1,000 points, it's 5,000 points. And there's a knocker in the game that, like, every time you hit a 5K shot, it smacks five times really quickly. And so, you know, when someone's over there making a lot of noise, they're doing really well. And so that's what you want. You want to make a lot of noise on Hit the Deck. And, you know, not from, like, turning around screaming, but you want this machine knocking over and over and over. So on Hit the Deck, I played it once and was absolutely atrocious. And you'll have to check out the layout. Just Google Hit the Deck pinball, and you should pull up the International Pinball Database, and it'll have pictures on there. Just check out this layout. It's super cool. So there's some lanes in the top right, and then they also actually go across to the left a little bit, but there's kind of a cascading effect. There's a staircase effect that goes on, and then there's some more lanes on the left. Then there's a few pop bumpers, and then there's these star rollovers in various spots. And I played the game, and I kind of got my butt handed to me. And then I was looking at the layout, and I'm like, what are the safe shots? Because there's an in-lane, I think there's an in-lane on the left. And then there's just a slingshot on the left. Maybe an in-lane. I can't even remember. But on the right side, it's just a touch target. I don't think that's a slingshot. There is no in-lane for sure. And it's got kind of that older EM. It's a very soft angle, so if you can deflect off of that slingshot area, and it'll bounce and go right into the outlane. It's not very tall. That is not a very danger, or that's not a very safe area to be in. That also happens to be one of the ace shots, but that's okay because it's a single player game, and so it keeps your progress throughout the entire game. So that's cool. So anyways, I played it once, didn't do so well. I was looking at the layout, and I'm like, let's find the safe shots and just, you know, bump the ball that way. And I played it again, and I think I found it. You know, I walked away from the game, I'm like, you know what, instead of getting 35,000 points, I got 78 or 79. And then I walked away and I said, because on ball five, I think I found that shot. You know, just keep doing this over and over and over and over again, and just try to stay alive. So if you look at this layout, and you're looking where the center drain is, look in the bottom third of the play field, and then look just slightly to the left of center, and you'll see a bunch of star rollovers. And when you complete the ace and ace and jack and king and all that stuff, when you do that, those rollovers light, and each one of those is where the knockers come in as well. And so what I decided to do, I decided to play an entire game, and I was not going to shoot for any other targets than that stretch. I wasn't even aiming for the rollovers. I just want to send the ball straight up that alley and let it, you know, cascade into the bumpers, or, you know, maybe go through the lanes, and the bumpers will shoot it up into the lanes, and just see how much collects over the course of a game. And I did that, and I stayed alive on a couple balls late in the game, and there's a 100K light that when you roll the game, it goes, you know, it lights up 100K. And so I rolled the game. That was the first thing that I did that I hadn't done yet. And then eventually, I think I got to like 137 or 139K, and that was worth some pretty decent points. It's like, wow, this is, you know, just when you don't know a game inside and out, I've heard a lot of people speak to this, and it's like, tell me two things that I need to know about this game. And if you're going to play Hit the Deck, I'm going to tell you these two things. It's a single player, so your progress stays the entire time. And when you collect those sets, they stay the entire game. And those rollovers that you want to hit are that left of center shot. Just keep hitting it straight up there. Just keep hitting it straight up there. And then it all comes down to survival skills and maybe a little bit of luck with how your bounces go. But outside of that, that was cool. So yeah, we're almost done with tournament talk. This is going to be a long episode because TPF was massive and it's awesome. And I've actually been putting off doing this podcast because I've been worried that I was going to leave something out. So I've been collecting notes over the last several days, and you know, this is the culmination of all those notes. So last year at TPF, I finished 108th out of 160 players. I went there with an objective of finishing in the approximately the 50% area. You know, it's like I don't know who's coming to this tournament. It might be the World All-Stars and I'll finish in last, or it might be a whole bunch of locals that just found out about pinball and I might do really well. You know, it's, you never know really who's going to show up. But at a tournament like this, you can kind of understand that there's going to be a pretty full spectrum of skill levels, and I was hoping to finish in that 50% area. I did not. This year, however, I finished 36th out of 160, and that's in the A division, because everybody's grouped into A, but they also had B division, which is, let's see, was that anybody higher than a 500, maybe? I don't know. Then they had novice, which is anybody higher than 3,000. They had a ladies division, and they also had a kids tournament. And I think there was a kids and parents tournament. I think there was two separate events that kids could do as well. So lots of stuff to do, lots of cool stuff. Let's see. Top 16 made playoffs in A, and so I did not make the playoffs. However, the top eight finish in, top eight finishers in B, they will make the playoffs, and I finished 12th in B. So I almost made the B playoffs, which I would have been really happy with. Ben qualified in 11th, and he and David V flew out, so they didn't do the drive. They got there, and they were hopefully well-rested. Ben qualified in 11th and ended up finishing in 8th. He's going to have some massive points incoming. Dave was looking at last year's stuff, and if it lines up as it was with last year, I think Dave was saying, like, when the playoffs started, he was like, oh yeah, Ben's getting like 15 points at a minimum at this point. And I lost track of where we decided he was going to end up, but he's going to get some good points for that. So that's pretty cool. Dave finished in Dave Bell, not Dave V. Dave V did not do the tournament. He was there, and he, from the sounds of it, he got to play a lot of stuff, which the free play area is massive. It's super impressive. It's a big show. It's just everything right now. So anyway, Dave Bell finished 68th. Derek unfortunately did not get off the wait list, so he was able to play in the free play area a little bit, volunteered a little bit, got a cool shirt out of that for his time doing a volunteer tour. And let's see. That was one of the reasons also why we didn't go to the tournament right away on Friday, because it's like, yeah, that wouldn't really be very fair if Derek had to just kind of like hang out, because the tournament area started at 11, but the free play area didn't open till 5. And so it's like, you know what, let's just go where everybody can play pinball, which is kind of funny. we're at the best show in the on the planet right now, and we're not able to play pinball, all of us. But anyway, it's just kind of a quirky schedule. Anyway, so there was some notables there that I just kind of looked down the list, and I was like, oh, wow, I finished, you know, I almost finished same with this person, or I actually finished ahead of this person. So Helena Walter Higgins, the previous week, just won the Women's World Championship, right? Like, she's a really good player, and I only finished one spot behind her. She finished in 35th. I was pretty pleased with that. Let's see. So these are some of the names that I finished ahead of. Bob Matthews, the journeyman himself. Do not play this man on classics because he knows them better than you. Tommy Skinner of This Flippin' Podcast and the Indiana State Championship. Ryan Wanger of the Little Kings Pinball Podcast and also a top 400 player. He's a good player. He's a cool guy too. Didn't get a chance to talk to him, but he was quite popular. He owns Comet Pinball, which is a LED company, and that's where I buy all my LEDs from, so shout out to Comet and Todd McCullough. And if you go to a show and Todd's there, you will not miss him. He used to play in the NBA. He was a center, and You cannot miss him, but he is a gentle giant. He is one of the nicest people in pinball, which is saying something because there's a lot of nice people in this hobby. Jeff Rivera of the Pinball Podcast broke his streak of coming in second in tournaments. I finished ahead of him as well. So that was the pinball tournament section of this. That was a little long. Sorry if you don't like tournament talk. Sorry. But anyways, so I'm not quite sure if this is breaking the fourth wall or something, but I had the whole rest of the show at TPF. I went through that entire thing, put all the stuff together for the podcast, and went to go to post it, and the file size was too large. And so what I'm going to do is I'm not going to recut the intro, but this is only part one of TPF. Yes, that's how large and awesome this show was. So what we're going to do is we're going to end right here. This is the end of part one. There's a part two coming, and that's going to have the rest of the stuff, which there's plenty more there. So that was it. Thank you very much for listening, and party on.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth.
It's Wayne's World. Wayne's World. Party time. Excellent.
And we're clear.